Hi, I'm Melanie Dead Girl, and welcome to Wrestle Horror Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meet Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, I see you down in a dungeon. Look what's behind me. That's where I'm going next week.
Oh, yeah. You're going to paradise, huh? A little fun and sun. That's all right. I kind of like the dungeon a little better, if I'm being honest. I'm not too much for sand. I don't like sand that much.
Well, you know, it's just for a week, and then I'll be back in the gloom and cold of Ohio, but...
Oh, yeah. I'll still be jealous, though, about up there and all that sun and warm weather. I ain't going to lie to you.
Well, I checked the weather report, and it's supposed high of 75 and a low of about 60 all week. So
that's perfect.
Joining us on this episode, this is our first December episode of 2021, is someone I am very familiar with. We've known each other for years. She's an awesome haunter, a great friend. I am, of course, talking about Melanie Dead Girl. Melanie, welcome to the show. Why haven't we had you on here before this?
I have no clue. Maybe because I'm always so busy.
Okay.
There's always that carnage working. That's why.
I try.
Yeah, and you've sent me pictures throughout the season about how things are going there and your makeups and everything. So let's go back to the beginning, Mel. What got you started in haunted house acting?
Well, I kind of got my start back when almost like Tim May was almost like my godfather for years. My whole family worked out there, and I kind of got pulled in out there originally. It's where I got my start, was down at Hoochie.
Okay. All right. And how many years now have you been haunting?
I know this would be 15. 22.
22. You know, it's funny because I always enjoy going to the Hoochie, and I remember the first time I went to Hoochie after I knew you, and you popped out from this above me window and just looked at me and went, "Hi, Jim."
Newbies, no.
True, but it still caught me off guard, especially when you used my name. So it's like it took me a second to register who you were. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, what you didn't see about that is I fell out the window after you walked by.
Ah, a little over energetic.
Yeah.
So how did Dead Girl come to be? Is that something you worked on over the years, or did somebody give you the idea? Where did the Dead Girl come from?
Dent Schoolhouse.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Jen Huffman actually gave it to me.
Okay.
That's where I got it from. For the longest time, it was just Mel. And we went up there and we were doing something. And I had my character out. And I was outside talking to Bud. And Living Dead Girl came on. And they just, that was the nickname from there on out.
Okay.
So it kind of stuck.
Yeah. Over the years, for sure. I mean, I see it on all your social media, and I've known it for years myself, so it works.
That's what they put on all my Haunt Awards.
And they should. That's who you are, the Dead Girl.
I am.
You're the most alive Dead Girl I've ever seen.
They put it on my hospital room door last year when I had surgery. We were overlooking Riverside Cemetery, and I was so pale, they literally told me I looked dead, and Mia thought it was funny. So they put Dead Girl on my door.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Donnie, first of all, let me back up. Your experience in the haunted attraction industry, you know, you've been doing this for 22 years. You've done a lot. You know, you've worked at various locations. You used to work for me. What is some of the most memorable scares you've ever had over your past 22 years?
I think one of my favorites, I was actually out at Stillwell Manor.
Okay.
And I was up under the Hearst, and it was actually Daryl come walking by, and I was dressed as Alice, and I come crawling out from his under his own Hearst. And when I startled the girl that was behind him, she screamed so loud, Daryl jumped. And I think that made my whole night, because Daryl's like, you can't make me jump. Nice. And I got at the price for two.
Two for the price of one. That is awesome. And Daryl, I mean, I know Daryl as well, and he's not the one to jump really easily. So, you know.
Yeah, it was a good night.
Yeah. Awesome. So Donnie was talking about something that that you do. I guess it's at Carnage that mm-hmm. really need to address. So I'm going to turn this over to Donnie at this point.
Yeah, I'd say. But before that, I actually got to see the Melanie Dead Girl gimmick live and in person when we had our trail over in Grove City, because she came to volunteer for us one night and hang out. And the only, you know, one of the few bad things about the trail was that it seemed like every time we were open, it was either snowing or raining. It was like one of the two. And that night it would happen to be raining a little bit, and the ground was wet and it was cold. And she was like literally in a it was like a nurse's dress type of thing.
I was Alice.
Or Alice. Yeah. Yeah. She had like a little dress on and all done up, and she was literally laying face down on the ground in the wet. And I was like, Jesus, that's gotta be cold.
In the mud.
Yeah. In the mud. I was like, she's gotta be freezing, poor thing. But she was down there getting it done. And so that was my experience with seeing dead girls, her laying in a puddle of water and mud face first.
Yeah.
Sign of a true haunter.
Yeah.
A little bit dirty to get the job done.
Yeah. But one of the things I wanted to touch on is something we haven't really talked about ever on this podcast. And I think it's an important part of a haunted house. And because Mel and I, we work together at Carnage, and, you know, we've had a pretty good season and a lot of fun. And I've even snuck into her room a couple times and interrupted her by messing with people. And I even pinched a girl's butt in there. It happened to be my wife, but we don't want to tell that part. It was just a girl. I pinched her butt. But
that was funny.
Yeah. But yeah, she does what we call it, the rules room. And it's basically before you go into a haunt. I mean, all haunters know it, but like if you're not a haunter and you like haunted houses, that's when you get to start the haunt and you get told the rules, what you can do, what you can't do. You know, they're going to touch you, they're not going to touch you, whatever. And I feel that's a very important, you know, part of the haunt, because that's the first thing, you know, Mel tells all the rules, lays the law down, and she also gets them, you know, gets the anxiety up to make them nervous to go in. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because like I said, that's something we've never touched on here, you know, on the podcast. And I don't hear about a lot of it. You know, I don't hardly hear anybody ever talking about this part of the haunt.
It's not that, I mean, you just go over, the best part is you start with a storyline. We start the storyline on the bayou at Carnage and the story of our voodoo priestess. And we trail into why our second haunt ties into that. They're so intrigued by the story. Then you just kind of turn it up and be like, well, take one of the characters from there. Like, I use our voodoo priestess, and I'll be like, now let's go over mama's rules. And we'll read down the rules and we'll let them know these ones are strictly being enforced. But while you read rules, you have fun with it. I've seen a lot of haunts where they just read the rules and they pass them on. When I read them, I'll tell them, like we tell them, there's no rowdy behavior. And I'll point to one of the guys in the group and say, there's no leapfrog with my alligators tonight. The last guy that tried lost his left butt cheek. And it turns the whole crowd around. Mm-hmm. And we get into it. And then sometimes you just get those people that don't want to listen. They've been drinking or they've been rowdy. And here, with me being doing it so long, I get a little leeway. I've actually stood, and I think you were there that night, I actually stood a grown man in the corner like he was five.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And made him stand there while we read rules because he couldn't listen to them.
Yeah. And that's the thing I like about the way you do it, is you actually integrate storyline and you interact with them instead of, like you said, somebody just sitting there reading the rules. And just like for an example, I brought up Terry when Terry brought a couple of our friends through. I snuck out because I'm in the little actor corridor that's in the middle of the bayou, because I'm the zone captain. So I kind of like hang out in that corridor, and I'll get people as they're coming, you know, past the exit signs and all that. And I saw him standing in line. So I kind of snuck out the side door and I pinched Terry on the butt, and And, you know, everybody laughed or whatever. And I went back and was looking out the exit door waiting to get somebody. And it was probably like 30 or 45 seconds, you know, later, Melanie like swings the door open and she's like, no grabbing the heinies or no pinching the heinies or something like that. So she was like, you know, doing, making a whole story out of it while they were waiting. She was like entertaining them. And I just started laughing. I was like, hey, you know, it's my heinie. I could pinch it if I want.
Yeah, you were back there. I threw the door open because I didn't know it was you back there. And I'm like, who's pinching the heinies of my girl?
Yeah, it was
Terry's funny. Like, you know, that's my husband. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah, it
just
was
like
funny.
You hide in the corridor and then we have little Mikey, or when we get Twisty in, they play, they integrate in with me and we have a good time and it sets that scene and they help get the anxiety going because I'll pace back and forth or walk behind them. And it's really good when your actors have me laughing so hard that it's hard to spit the rules out.
Right. So, yeah, and like you said, the rules room is actually a haunt room in itself, because there's been many of times I've seen where, you know, like there's been a group of girls or something. I've heard them screaming and all kind of commotion and they're arguing and fighting over who's going to go through the door first to enter the haunt, because she's got them so worked up. And I was like, man, that's actually just a haunt scene room in itself, you know?
Well, you weren't there the one night. I think you were actually had an event or were down sick or something. I accidentally didn't mean to, but I jump scared a 17-week-old pregnant woman and we had to shut the rules room down until I got Ralphie and everybody in there to get her out.
Oh, wow. No, I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah. She was there and Lori, our one medic that was off duty, Lori was there and they were standing behind her getting ready to go. And I did the rules. And at the end of the rules, I always say, they cannot touch you, so please do not touch them. And then I'll jump at them and say, we may get this close. And I must have just jump scared her just right, because next thing I knew, she was on the floor hyperventilating and having contractions.
Oh, not good.
Nobody knew she was pregnant. She's like, I'm 17 weeks pregnant.
Like, whoops.
Whoops.
Might have been a good piece of information to have.
Right. But yeah, I jump scared her from behind.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're taking a chance with an attraction like that if you're pregnant. And
yeah.
But did she know? Well, she knew she was pregnant, obviously.
She did. She announced it after I dropped her.
But, you know, Mel, I think that, and I'm sorry I didn't get the chance to see the show this year, but from what Donnie's told me and what I'm hearing you two talk about, it's a breath of fresh air to understand that a person doing the rules room is just not running down a list of rules and being very dry and very dull, which some haunts do have. It's like, don't do this, don't do that, blah, 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 blah. But you work it into the entire show. And I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, the second part of that is part of our rules is Mia took a lot of time to hide Easter eggs in our haunt. And part of my rules is telling them to look for these Easter eggs were actually movie memorabilia. So they get to go through these rooms and it makes it easier because they're too focused trying to find these Easter eggs, not to know that the scares are coming.
Brilliant.
So I get to work that into the rules as well, but you still have a chance. We are open for Christmas.
Yeah. 10th and 11th.
Good. Good.
I'll be there in a neck collar. I have surgery next Friday.
Oh, do you? Another one?
Yeah.
You're another in the hospital. One. You're in the hospital more than anybody I've ever seen. What'd you do to your hand? I've seen your pictures on Facebook. What'd you do to your hand?
Broke it at work. Smashed it.
Did you really?
I was hitting 85 hours and was overtired and smashed it between the desk and my rolling chair.
Not good. Yeah, that happens, huh?
I'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. Just wrap it in some Christmas lights and garland on then.
Yeah, Mia's laughing at me. I'm having screws and plates put in the back of my neck on the 3rd. I will be discharged from the hospital on the 6th. Then I will be at Carnage in costume on the 10th.
Hopefully you'll be at least sitting down.
I'm doing rules.
Oh, yeah. You have to tell you, I'll be in that corridor, so I'll be keeping an eye on you.
I asked for rules, so.
Well, you do a great job at it. Like I said, you know, and then I say most of the places I've been to, just like Jim said, they just kind of read the rules and, you know, may tell a little story or something or try to make funny jokes and, then they just push you on in. But yeah, yours is like a whole production, it seems like, you know.
Oh yeah, I have a blast with it. That's why I don't mind when she's like, I feel bad because you didn't act and you're stuck in rules, but actually I really did act and I'm fine there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the way that's I see
a,
it.
That's a, within in my mind, that's a good place to eat, to sit, like scare people, because when they're in the, when they first get to the haunt and they get in line, that's like when they're the most nervous, you know, they're not as desensitized to everything.
I'll pop around that corner to check on the line and startle who's ever standing at the doorway or.
Oh yeah.
I'll call them voodoo shrunken heads or something. They look at me like, why are you calling me that? Or a group of girls, we called them little bunnies. They're like, why are we bunnies?
Well, you'll see.
Right.
So on top of being a haunted house actor for so long and plying your trade very well, because you are one of the most dedicated actors I know when it comes to haunted attraction acting. You've visited many haunted houses over the years, and I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, but what was your favorite one?
My favorite one? Well, I'm not going to pick mine because I work at it, but I think if I had to do it, I have two close. It would have to be Stillwell Manor and Dent.
Okay. All right. I can see the reason.
They're the top two.
Right. Okay. One thing I like about Stillwell Manor is that slide.
Right. I think last time I was there, it wasn't open.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think they were cleaning it or something. I don't remember.
Probably, you can only imagine what's in the bottom of that ball pit.
I think Daryl has found some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you this question because I saw it on our group post in Wrestle Horror that you responded to. And they were asking you to describe a wrestler without saying his name. And you said something about he likes his snacks.
I said snakes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was, so it would be Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes.
I was fortunate enough to meet him at a convention last April in Indianapolis. And
he's awesome.
He's got a picture. Let me see. I'm going to see if I can put it up on the screen here while we're talking. But he was really cool. And we all had our middle fingers out. And it was his right. So do you, I mean, I know you're not a huge wrestling fan, but is there, I mean, you like Jake the Snake Roberts. Is there any other wrestlers you liked? Or you
so know? There's a secret. Growing up, my biological dad used to work security for WWE and stuff when they came into town. Really? So I've met Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior and Jake the Snake, and they've actually got a picture, which I have no clue where it's at. My dad has it. There was Hulk and Macho Man, and he had Elizabeth up on his shoulder and had me up on his other shoulder, and I was about 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And I was like, so I grew up watching wrestling for the longest time, and then when it started switching over to the newer stuff, I kind of just kind of got out of it.
You need to have him find that picture for you. That's a keeper.
Yeah,
right.
That's yeah.
Awesome. I mean, wow. I mean, two icons, two legends, and you're right there with them. I mean,
yeah.
You need that picture.
I do need that picture, but me and my real dad don't talk as much. So he probably has it put up somewhere. And it's about one of the only events we ever really did together when I was little.
Yeah. Well, you came with me and them to the Zucchini Fest with us because we had a Carnage booth at the Zucchini Fest and we had our wrestling event. So you got to see a little independent live action there for a little while.
Yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. I was walking around with horns.
Yeah.
One of your wrestlers came over and stroked my horns. It was funny.
Did it? That doesn't surprise me. So they come up
he
with
hung donuts off
stuff.
Of it.
Did it? Oh, was it the baker?
Yeah.
Was
it? Nice. I had donuts on my horns.
Right. Yeah, he's funny.
Did you get to watch much of the show while you were at the booth, or?
Oh, yeah. I was standing on the outside of the table looking in, and Mia and Jenny were sitting behind the table holding down flyers.
Right. Yeah, it was windy as crap that day for some reason.
I was chasing off all the kids that were standing there eating candy and putting the empty wrappers back on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we had these two kids that stood there for like half hour and just sat there and kept eating candy.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finally, you'd be like, all right, got time to move on.
Like, there's other kids here.
All right. Oh, I'm not going to lie. I walked by the table a couple of times and snatched a few pieces. I was like, ooh, candy.
Don't worry. I was eating it, too.
Right. It's hard not to.
Jennifer was trying to organize it by size and candy, and I kept messing it up, and she kept getting mad.
And she was messing it up. Like, dude, come on now.
All right.
There you go, Mel. Can you see that?
The picture?
No, now I can. Awesome.
It was his idea.
The only other picture I've got that's up on my Facebook is me and Big Sexy. Did you see how short I am to him?
I'm short next to
him. Right.
So Carnage had a booth next to him at WizardCon 2 years ago.
Okay.
Like, he was across the way, and Mia paid for me to go over there and get autographs and stuff. I hit him at his waist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody's like, look, he is. Well, then he came over afterwards, and he's like, hey, we're all going out to have drinks and stuff. You want to go? And I'm like, I got to be at the haunt in like 30 minutes. Yeah. But he was really cool. We talked like for 3 days.
Nice.
Oh, I like Kevin Nash. He's a...
He was a sweetheart.
Yep. Yep. You know, I've got a picture, I think, must be downstairs, but I've got a picture with me and him and Scott Hall.
And there you
yeah,
go.
And I felt incredibly short next to Kevin.
Well, I'm 5'3", so and I'm short to you.
Yes.
So I was really short to him.
I can see where you can only come up to about his waist. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He was leaning on my head, like with his elbow.
So do you plan on coming to see any of our new Ohio wrestling shows when we do them again?
If I have a ride and not at work.
I'm not sure that a ride can be arranged and you're not, if you're not working.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes, I will definitely come to some of those.
Awesome. Okay.
Right now I'm running two locations because my boss quit and I've been promoted.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I'm running Groveport and Pickerington.
Wow.
Nice.
Back and forth, huh?
Open at one, close at the other one, 7 days a week.
Wow. Paycheck's got to be good.
Yeah, I'm still hourly.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm still hourly too, so I squeeze in as much overtime as I can before I get yelled at.
HR said I capped out on Saturday at 80 or 85 hours.
Wow.
And the borrowed store, which is Pickerington, has to pay all the overtime.
Nice. I'm sure they'll find them a manager real quick when they start paying all that.
Maybe. Right. They don't have any staff. They can't even keep cashiers.
Yeah. I can't even get overtime. I get in trouble if I work overtime.
They'll tell your company that start forking out the overtime.
Yeah. Well, I work for the city, so they're not going to do that.
That says it all, Donnie.
Right.
Yeah. But in spite of that, you got paid for all that time you stayed at home during COVID.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. They did hook us up with that. I'll give them that.
I had to go to work every day.
Yeah, I'll say a lot of people did. I felt bad for him. I was like, I'm not even going to lie. Terry did. She worked almost through the whole thing.
I worked there at the firehouse and at Carnage the whole entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
I worked from home for like 2.5-3 months, and then they made us come back into the office.
That bummed you out, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot easier just the alarm to go off, roll out of bed, walk over to my desk, Boom, I'm at work.
Jim was the one going to work in his pajamas.
Uh-huh.
I can't talk.
I have cashiers that come to work in flaming hot Cheeto pants, so.
I don't wear no stinking pajamas.
Jim, well, you can't go any other way to the Zoom meetings.
All right.
You throw a shirt on, they can't see the lower half.
Yeah. Can't you hear him squeaking in his chair when he moves?
Oh, God. So, all right, let's talk about horror. Since we just were.
The scariest thing of it all.
Exactly. Oh, I'm having fun.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
So, Mel, favorite horror movie of all time?
Do I have one?
Or is there a specific genre, subgenre of horror that you like?
Yes, Jennifer, I like Halloween. I got her started on that.
There you go.
I happen to like the original Exorcist.
Okay.
Happens to be one of my favorites, I think. Don't give me that look. She's in love with Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And I think I happen to like Trick or Treat.
Yes, that's a good show.
But if you're going to take it back, it would be the old black and white Dracula.
Nice. Bela Lugosi.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. It'd have to be the number one, which I think I own it downstairs on VHS.
I've got it on DVD. I bought it off Amazon last year. I got.
I'm old.
You're old. Listen to you. You're not old.
You're so, what's your. You guys are Michael Myers fans, which means you're slasher fans. What do you guys think about my boy Jason here?
I don't know. Hold on. Ask her. Jennifer, what do you think about his boy Jason?
What do you think about my boy right here?
Yes. Yeah, she's got Michael Myers. It's Michael Myers and Carnage and Stitch all over her room.
Nice.
Yeah. Look, I got Snow
Globe. Oh, yeah. She wants to show her Snow Globe.
Well, there you go. That's pretty cool.
You need one like that with Jason.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything I get her, it's Michael Myers. That's what she wants for Christmas. So I'm on a mission.
There you go.
You know how hard it is to find that stuff in the middle of December and November?
Right. Allposters.com, life-size cutouts.
I didn't think about that. She'd be cuddling it.
Yeah.
Hey, I could just get her a mannequin, put a jumpsuit on it, and go buy a mask.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, somebody's got to have a mannequin laying around.
You know,
I got one right here.
Yeah.
Jennifer, look, he's got you a mask right there.
Yeah, it's in my dresser. It was actually on my desk drawer. You said that, and I was like, wait, I got one right here.
She said, you're not fair, Donnie. You'll be at the Christmas haunt.
Yeah, I'll be there.
She'll be there.
Then I'm going to find out where you live, and I'm going to come steal it the next day, and we'll be there.
Not down Obet.
Yeah. Yep. Right down on Obet. Not far.
About 10 minutes from me. Not even that.
Yeah.
Do what?
I said, Donnie should put a lock on that drawer now.
I actually forgot it was even, it's like my dresser or my desk drawer has a bunch of paperwork and stuff. And I remembered I laid it in there like a long time ago and totally forgot about it till we just talked about it. And I was like, oh crap, I got one right here.
Right. Would you open that door before he breaks it?
Excuses. He just wants to forget about Michael Myers.
So, okay. So we've established your favorite horror films. What do you think of some of the newer horror films, the ones that have come out recently? Is there anything that really grabs your attention that you enjoyed?
Recently, I haven't seen a new scary movie in about 2 years.
Okay. Well, the last scary movie you saw, what was that?
2 years ago when that Michael Myers came out.
Have you guys watched the new one?
My daughter has. I have not.
Yeah.
I got some catching up to do.
There you go.
I enjoyed Halloween Kills.
Mm-hmm.
She said the same thing.
Yeah, I thought it was, like I said, some people was hating on it, but I kind of enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm not into it for the deep story or anything. And, you know, I like just seeing kills. I'm a slasher guy, so I just like seeing kills. If you do a lot of killing in a movie, it's all right with me.
Right? The more blood, the better?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll definitely have to see Terrifier sometime.
Terrifier. I'll have to ask Travis about that one. He may know about that one. He may own it.
With Art the Clown?
Yeah, it's got Art the Clown. And we actually had him as a guest about a year ago on the show. And he's got some really unique kills in that movie. And I'm not going to give it away. Just watch the last one.
Yeah, so part two should be coming out anytime now. It's coming out soon.
When we hang up, you'll have to send me that in Messenger so I remember.
That shouldn't be a problem. Well, I can do it right now while we're talking.
So besides the slashers, you said Exorcist. Are you into like the religious kind of horror? Because, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't mind watching them. I can watch them, but for just some reason, they're like the religious horror type stuff. It's kind of like The Omen and all that kind of thing. It's just that's not my cup of tea, I don't guess. I don't really care for them much.
It's odd. I like all them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my scary movie collection down there from all the old stuff, from like the 15 movie film fests and stuff like I got down there, all the way up to recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids just go down there and go shopping.
All right.
I don't want kissies. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I just went and seen the new Ghostbusters today. Me and Terry did with some friends, and I actually really enjoyed it. If you're a Ghostbusters fan.
I love Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It was an excellent movie. Recommend it highly.
Well, the kids will have to go see that one.
Yeah.
So what was the worst horror film you ever saw, Mel?
The worst horror film?
Scream.
I have to agree with my daughter. Scream.
What? I like Scream.
A couple of them is whack.
I couldn't get into them.
Yeah?
That paranormal, whatever it was called. Something paranormal.
Paranormal Activity?
Yeah. Could not get into that. And I'm into paranormal. Right. Could not get into that. Anybody wants paranormal, they can come deal with the one in my house. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Donnie, you think the ones at the haunt are bad?
Yeah. You got some good ones there, do you?
They don't like my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got all the equipment here. Everything.
Oh, no, Jim. She's, in the last week, been attacked pretty hard.
Silver.
Thanks. Because she's got the scratches down her face and everything. She posts us from that. So, well, yep. I...
Put Silver on her.
Okay.
I'm serious.
I will.
It will help protect her.
I will do that. Because she does not sleep between midnight and 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then she'll sleep during the day.
Because I got a job.
So
get a silver necklace or a silver ring or something and put it on her. I promise.
She has one in her. She has one in her jewelry box, and I have one in my room.
It will help protect her.
Okay.
I always wear silver when I go into an investigation.
I usually just wear my blessed medallion, but somehow it's come up missing in the last week. Hmm.
So, speaking of the paranormal, have you ever seen the movie The Conjuring?
Yes, I own them both, one and two.
Okay. September 9th of next year, me and Chris and Donnie and Terry and my friend Ken, well, you know Ken, you've met Ken before, mm-hmm. and a wrestler down here called Shauna Reed, we are going to the actual Conjuring house to investigate it.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
We get it for 12 hours with nobody else but the six of us.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about it. And
I'm nervous about it. I've never done an investigation, so I'll have my diaper on just in case.
You better take two, Donnie.
Right? No, I have a whole pack. I'm going to Sam's Club.
Oh my God. But I already told everybody, and I want to make sure that everybody on the team has silver on them when we go, because you know the history of the house.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure everybody's protected, because there is a potential for nasty stuff to happen. And no silver, you're not going in. So it's as simple as that.
Exactly.
But I don't think anybody's going to argue with me.
No, I'm not. I'm going to put on two or three just to be sure.
Just fill his little pull-up up.
Yeah, there you go. I told him I was just going to get a suit of armor made out of silver and just wear that.
Jim, would you make sure that I get video of Donnie crying?
Yeah. I will definitely. I've got an 8-camera DVR system I'm taking with me. So if Donnie cries, I'm going to know about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it might not happen. There's a chance.
So you said the house you're in is haunted. I mean, is there anything else besides what bugs Jenny?
So it started when we first bought the house. Mm-hmm. Like for some reason, we were drawn to it. Like, didn't want to look at any other house. Every time I drove away, I had to come back and look at the house again. Been there, done that. Usually I catch one. I walked away. We started experiencing footsteps and doors opening on their own, and Bri was down in the basement, and Loki won't go in the basement. Mm. He growls, he snarls. If you try to go in the basement, he'll bite you. And my one son, he's autistic, and he believes really big in the paranormal. He kept saying, like, we weren't here 3 days, and he kept saying, Mom, there's a girl talking to me, and she says her name is Emily, and she's buried in the basement. Hmm. And he kept talking about this Emily. Well, then Jen started staying over, and she kept saying, Mom, there's this girl in my room. This girl stands behind my curio cabinet and talks to me. Well, we got talking to the previous owners, and there was a guy that lived here prior to them. And he had taken his own life. Someone cut his wife's brakes and rolled it over here on our road. And his high school daughter went missing after prom, and they've never found her. Well, if you go into my basement behind my hot water tank and that, the wall, if you tap on the brick wall, sounds like it's hollow behind it. And there is a brick missing out of the foundation. If you look through it, you can see right next to the step into my garage. They built a wall around my sump pump. They furnished the room and built a wall around it. And my son keeps saying, Mom, she says she's down by the sump pump. Well, we'll get things moving around and noises. And I was starting to, Jen wasn't living here, and I was getting experiences where I would be laying in bed and I'd see what looked like, I thought the police were out front, but my room's on the back of the house. But I could get the light reflection from my side of my house. So I thought the squads were out there because I have an elderly guy next door and there's nothing out there. And then you would see what looked like a black figure leaning against my door, and then it would just bomb rush me. And I felt like I was being choked. My blankets were being tightened around me. And there for a while, I got really nasty back with it and it stopped. But everybody that comes over, nobody's comfortable in my basement. Nobody will go in my basement. My brother has stayed over and said he felt like dogs gnawing on his feet and growling. And we've saged the house more than once. I've purified my house. When Mia comes over, Mia can feel it. Things will get quiet for a few days. And then it gets nasty. Like, it gets real nasty. Jen's had her face gouged where it's bled. She has had symbols. The other night, I come in here and Christopher said, "Mom, Jen's being attacked." And I get up in the middle of the night. She's sound asleep and looks like she's seizing. And she's got a pentagram and a couple other things carved into her left arm. And Andrew has been by my house but won't come in and says that he can feel there's a lady with brown hair that's out to hurt my daughter. She's got her closet barricaded. She won't go in the closet. She won't sleep between midnight and 4 because that's when it messes with her. But my dogs bark for no reason and growl all night long. But I have, other than that, I mean, it'll throw things at you. You'll sit at my dining room table. It'll scratch you. It's got no problem with it.
I know. I looked into that wall by the sump pump.
I've been back there. I can't get back there, but if you open it, there's a sump pump there. We pulled up the laminate flooring. They had fake wood flooring down. And when Brian lived down there, my pit bull ate himself through the basement door because he did not want to be down there. So we ripped up the flooring from where he peed on it one day out of nowhere. He just peed for no reason. And half the finished floor, half the floor is painted in a dark gray, like satin paint. And then the rest of the floor is just regular concrete. Like, it stops halfway through the room, the paint does. And then they laid the floor over it. So I'm sure something's probably under the paint. And I'm sure there was something going on more in this house than we know. Because I can feel it. Like, sitting here talking to you guys, I've got cold chills down my back. So, but Jen, she's afraid of her room, petrified. If you go into the bathroom, we've gotten pictures where you'll see like a handprint in the mirror in the steam. Kids will complain. It feels like they're being watched. So bathroom door gets left open when they shower and the dog lays in there with them. So it's the only way. They all sleep during the day. I'm the only one that sleeps at night.
If you ever want somebody to, try to get some answers and document some evidence, I would be happy to help.
Once I get my house cleaned up from where it looks like a tornado hit it, I would totally be down for that because she needs to feel safe.
Right. Absolutely. But,
and she doesn't feel safe.
In the meantime, like I said earlier, keep the silver on her. That will help.
She's got a silver ring that belonged to her grandma.
She needs to wear it all the time.
Did you hear that? Jim said, make sure. She's put it on. That may be why she's sleeping the last couple nights.
Sleeping.
So, but yeah, you can stand out in front of my house and watch her curtains move and look like somebody's looking out it. And she's got bags of clothing in front of her window.
It's crazy.
It is. But I think that's why I was drawn to the house. So
something's upset.
For sure.
I just based on what you've told me, I'm not sure if it's just a malevolent spirit or something more sinister. But I want to lean towards probably malevolent, but not demonic.
Right.
However, you know, that's part of the purpose of trying to investigate is to get a clearer picture of what's going on and what's troubling your family.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Chris, it doesn't bother Chris. at all. He can go to the basement. He can talk to it. He can ignore it. It don't care. If the other night I came in here when she was being attacked and I told it, I said, would you leave her alone and come after me? And it did. I felt like I was being suffocated in my bed. But yeah, she's got sores from them for sure. And like everybody's like, she did that herself. And I'm like, you can't do your upper arm around the backside of your arm right. in your sleep with a perfect, I mean, like perfect straight lines. Right. And that's what she's got. So
hopefully at some point in time, we can get some answers for you, because that's no way to live. And it's not fair to her to have to stay up those right. hours and things like that. So, you know, hopefully that you can find the answers you're looking for to, and perhaps get the entities or the energies to leave you alone.
Right. I know there's at least one male and at least one female, and neither one of them are nice. Like you can hear them have a conversation like in the middle of the night. When the kids aren't here, me and Travis will sit here and literally sound like a male and female sitting here having a full-blown conversation in my hallway. So, like, full-blown conversation.
Try to record like it.
Huh?
Try to record it.
We've tried. All you get is whispers.
Okay.
Like, the only thing I've caught in my recordings is, who is she? Uh-huh. And why is she here all the time?
Okay.
And Jennifer just recently moved in. So other than that, her room used to be empty other than maybe a couple weekends a year. So I don't know.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. My lab lays in here with her.
Good.
He's very protective.
And that's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do now, Mel, is I'm going to give Donnie the option for the question, unless he's got any other questions.
Oh no. Yeah, we can drop the question on her. That's fine. Kind of change the subject a little bit.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Lighthearted here, you know.
Right. Yeah. This is a question we ask all of our guests. There's no right or wrong answer. We just like to get inside the minds of our guests to see how twisted they are and compared to how twisted we are. So
everybody
else that we've talked to. So the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
My go-to kill. It would have to be an X.
X, yeah.
It would have to be an X. And it'd have to be slow and painful.
There you go.
Not that you hold a vendetta or anything.
Just saying.
All right. Yeah. So, okay. So you are as twisted as I thought you were.
I am.
So, Mel, before we wrap this up, do you want to get any social media out there, maybe for Carnage, you know, all that good stuff, so people can find out more about you or about the haunt or any other things you might have your hand in?
Well, I'm definitely down at Carnage Haunted House. They can always check them out on Facebook or at carnagehauntedhouse.com. Okay. I'm always on Facebook, you know, on my own page under Melanie Dead Girl Gibson, or I haven't put my modeling page back up yet. So eventually that'll get restructured. But other than that, that's about all I really do. I have an Instagram under the same thing.
Okay.
So.
And that's Gibson with a P, not a B.
Yep. With a P.
So people sometimes get that confused, so I thought I'd throw that out there for you.
Well, that's why my other half of my friends call me Mad Max, because that's the only way they can remember.
Mad Max. Well, this has been fun. It's been instructional, and I learned more about you than I think I've known in the past 12 years.
I'm twisted.
That much I knew. I've always known that part. You know, it's been a roller coaster with me and you ever since we met down at Dent. So, you know, thanks for taking the time to come and talk with me and Donnie. I certainly do appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks for having me.
And with that being said, my name is Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover and our special guest, Melanie Dead Girl. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.